And every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're enjoying all the music that you imagine in your heads, as good as it could possibly ever be. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on a wonderful little frequency that we call the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It also is broadcast around New Zealand. We have a current number of affiliates. Ifinity FM, if you're in Southland, ladies and gentlemen, Invercargill or anything like that, if you go to the webpage, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, there's underneath affiliates, the little heading down on the side there, there is Rush FM, Ifinity FM, and Dagsy FM, all right? And these fellas, they do, in fact, play the Vinnie Eastwood Show at least four nights a week, right? Of their own volition. They ain't getting paid to do it. They have to go out and find advertisers and keep themselves running and everything like that. And they play 2 hours out of their broadcast schedule nearly every day to get the truth out there. Good cats, eh? On live radio streams. I think there's like nearly 30 or 40 something different affiliates if you combine them all together. So this radio show is going out everywhere. It's going out on the web. It's going out on YouTube. It's going out on the airwaves. And it's growing every single day, and we have the largest online, basically, database of activist interviews, information, investigations, etc., that you will not find on any other website or radio show, for the biggest extent possible. My very special guests today are Glenn Sutphin and Suzanne Posel, and we've been talking about the Monsanto infiltration of the anti-March for Monsanto group, and specifically in Virginia there. And we've also been talking about parenting, getting onto CPS, and various other topics. And I wanted to make the point about CPS and Child Protective Services, just like a point I make many, many times, is that in most things, particularly things that come from authority, whatever they're telling you that they're doing is the exact opposite to what they're really doing. So, somebody says, we're here to protect children. Well, they must be there to kidnap them and rape them. And sell them. And kill them. Right? And unfortunately, the statistics back up exactly what I just said. You are 9 times more likely to be sexually abused in the custody of a child protective services worker than you are your own parent. 9 times more likely! That's not funny, ladies and gentlemen. These organizations get excused all the time. Oh, it's children, you know, we can't report on the court activity that involved with this stuff because for the sake of the children. You mean the children that are getting raped, the children that are getting abused, the children that are being brainwashed against their own parents? It's for their sake that we don't expose what's going on here? Is that what you're telling me, you frickin' scumbag? Where's your heart? Where's your soul? Where's your conscience? Oh, that's right. You don't frickin' have any. If you ain't willing to back it up, you ain't got it. Kind of like your rights. Don't you think? Rights are like a moral backbone. If you don't use them, you lose them. It's like everything else in this world, isn't it? Glenn, Suzanne, welcome back.
Thank you.
Sorry to be laying down the real serious kind of notions on you today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I'm just not that funny today.
Well, I think this is a very serious thing. What's going on in Richmond, Virginia, this needs to be looked at. It's a warning, like I said before. We need to look at this and make sure that it doesn't happen again. We need to look at other chapters and see if anyone has weaseled their way in and get rid of it so that the next march is purified. It doesn't have any of these infiltrators. It doesn't go with the agenda that helps Monsanto. DuPont and Monsanto and other biochemical corporations through biotech initiatives have given over $60 million to Congress to lobby for labeling. There's a reason why they want the labels. They want to write them themselves, control them, make it voluntary whether or not they admit to GMO in the food. So you have labeling coming from both sides. This gentleman, John Lewis, seems agenda-driven to me, especially when Monsanto and DuPont and all of those corporations win, no matter who. Because if the federal government labels it, that supersedes all of the states' labeling passages of legislation that have already gone through in a few states. So if the people are getting the states to do it and Monsanto's getting the federal government to do it, Monsanto wins. They can label it. They don't care if we label it, because the fact of the matter is, A, not everything is on the label to begin with, and B, if they're writing the guidelines, then they win. Why are we labeling it? Like Glenn said, let's just get rid of it. Let's just get rid of it so that it's not there. We don't even have to worry about it anymore.
Some form of purge.
Yeah, pretty much. Just go. I mean, there are countries overseas that are burning their crops and sending the shipments back and saying, we will not accept it. And the U.S. is the only one going, hey, we'll give it to the people. Why not? It doesn't make much sense unless you start looking in deeper, like in the Agenda 21, and then you start coming up with all reasons why.
Hey,
there
Glenn,
are.
Have you noticed that there's a circular motion here? Like, you look into Monsanto, and then that comes into Agenda 21, and then Agenda 21 goes into Codex Alimentarius, which goes straight back into Monsanto again.
Correct. Yeah, and all of it's interconnected. And then you start looking around, and people go, it's like, no, but then you got to find out, okay, then you start going, who's funding all this? Where is all the money? And then you start offshore banks and all that, you know, all the other stuff, and it all starts coming back in together. That's because you're starting to wake up and pull back and seeing more of the dots on the picture, and the picture is becoming clearer. This is all part of little things that are conspiracy theories, because that's all I ever get called, is those conspiracy theorists for all the stuff I know. And it's like, then explain it to me, because the only way I can explain it starts forming cobwebs, and Monsanto's here doing this, and it reaches out over into here, over to like Hasbro, and then this person over here is over there, and it's all interconnected, and whoa, what's going on? Well, you don't ask those questions because we don't want to answer the questions.
Well, not only do they not want to answer the questions because they might be implicated in some kind of crime, or they're completely innocent and they don't want to ask those questions because, let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, it's really painful to admit that you've been lied to and you believed it for so freaking long, maybe your entire life, you know? Repeat after me. Okay, I admit it. Okay, I admit it. I was an idiot. I was an idiot. See? It's not that hard, is it? Once you admit that you don't know everything, you're suddenly able to learn things. And if you're looking for the truth in something, I mean, I relate it to, I don't know if you've ever been to a state fair or an Easter show or something like that. You know how they got their big rides with the lights and stuff, and they're spinning around and they're really fancy and everything like that. Well, if you walk into a state fair and you're looking for who runs the show, you'll go to the first thing that goes, candy floss vendor. Excuse me, are you running the show? You know, he's got these big things of candy floss and they're really brightly colored and they're very distracting and attention and they're very sweet. And the guy goes, no, sorry, I don't actually run the show. Go find somewhere else. So you go to the next ride, and it's a really, really big, fabulous, massive ride with huge lights, and it goes fast and fast and round, and it's really distracting and really fun. And you ask the guy, is it you that's running the show here? He goes, no, I'm sorry, it's not me. So you go to one of the stalls where you have to toss rings onto something, and you ask the guy there, excuse me, are you running the show here? Because you seem to be making lots of money. You got all these possessions and everything like that. Are you running the show? And he goes, no, it's not me. I'm not running the show, bro. And you find out that you spend all your time looking for the things that are brightly colored, the things that appear right out in front of you. The things that you are encouraged to participate in are not the ones running the show. The ones that are running the show, you never see walking around. They're in a little office somewhere. No lights, no magnificence, no opulence. Barely any attention gets paid to them at all. Meanwhile, everybody gets distracted by the big rides, the bright lights, and the crazy clowns.
That is the crux of the problem. We get caught up in the marketing and the advertising and the rah, 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 let's do this, an idea whose time has come, all the slogans, anything to get us to participate. We don't sit back and think about what we are participating in, whether or not we've seen this type of tactic used before. Ask why it's being put into your face and what the implications of it are, what the consequences are, the positives, the negatives. We don't critically think, we just react to everything that happens in front of us. And because of that, we make very poor decisions.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. Like I said, last year I was all, you know, mesmerized, like, wow, okay, well, hey, 400 people, we're going to do something. And then this year there were just a lot of questions because they kind of pulled it away from the populated areas. We can't go down to where we were in Carytown, which was very effective, because the stores complained. So we got to meet in this little park out in the middle of nowhere with police surrounding everything. And, you know, and then the march did veer off course and went past the Altria building, which was kind of ironic. It's like, well, why are you so against Altria, but you're marching right in front of the building? And then they wound up in the middle of a parking lot somewhere away from public. And it was specifically like, well, we'll take a different route. And it's like, well, what was all that about? You know, you start asking questions. And if you ask questions, it's like, what, are you against small farms? What are you, you know, what, you're not supporting us? And it's like, yeah, not really. And your tactics are starting to push people away. And a lot of people are asking questions. And I'm just happen to be one of the ones going, well, look at what I found. Maybe this is why they're doing that. You know, I don't know if they're compartmentalized, if they're brain damaged, or if they're just not paying attention, which could be the case, but I doubt it because all the stuff I'm finding, it's like this is starting to smell like a organized operation like they did the Occupy movement here in Richmond. They co-opted that and brought in a bunch of people and made it what it was, which was nothing. So I'm, you know, and I'm asking questions and trying to find answers. So that's why I'm here.
Yeah, yeah. I think they get you one way or the other. You know, they'll either bribe you in and give you lots of wonderful possible treats, etc., for being corrupt and doing this kind of thing. Or you might be a little bit brain damaged and too stupid to realize what's actually really going on. You believe the lies of these scum that are actually the real corrupt ones that you're working for, and you believe them lock, stock, and barrel, and you defend them against all accusers and everything like that. Or you really don't think about it at all. At all. You know, you never actually just stop for a moment and just go, have I become some form of scumbag? No? No? Okay, I'm still doing the right thing. Good, good, good. Because there's no self-analysis in those positions. There's only rewards, titles, etc. And I don't like that corporate ladder business. And there's a corporate ladder in the political scheme as well, don't you think? All you're trying to do is get a higher paycheck, more power, more influence, and a fancier title. Again and again and again. And then you realize, at the end of it, that none of these titles mean jack in your real life. They're just a title. They're kind of like the name on a car. What matters in the car is the engine. What matters is how comfy them seats are, bro. Doesn't necessarily matter what the name is. So if you call yourself the president, you call yourself the prime minister, well, you call yourself the CEO, it doesn't change the fact that you're just a clunker.
Yep, pretty much. It's what's inside of you that matters, not what you know, how much money you got in the bank, because we all know the money's worthless. So having a bunch of papers in the bank, doesn't do much for you. It's what you at the end of the day, you have to look at yourself in the mirror, and that's, you know, and you have to look at your children and go, what am I leaving for them? This is more for them, not for me. I'm trying to, I don't want this stuff all over the place for my grandchildren. You know, I want it gone. And then this movement comes along and we'll get rid of it. Oh, okay. Let's just label it. That's not getting rid of it. You know, and then you start looking deeper and it's just, wow. And then this is more and more. It's just like you said, I'm seeing corporate scumbags in suits, smileticians. They smile at you, you know, the smiling politicians. They always smile, always got a smile on their face, always in suits. And that's what I'm seeing here. And it's like, whoa, time out. I'm not supporting this, but I'm not against the march against Monsanto. I am fully against Monsanto. And this is smelling like Monsanto. So, you know, I'm just calling what I'm smelling.
Yeah, I think it's important for the audience to understand this is isolated to Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, that we know of right now. And to me, the reason why I wanted Vinny to bring this gentleman on, bring Glenn here to talk to you, is because if this is happening in other cities, if this is happening somewhere else, we need to root it out and get rid of it. Because the idea behind March Against Monsanto is a good idea, and we should be boycotting, not supporting, and getting these corporations out of the government, out of the biotech industry, out of our grocery stores. We shouldn't even be wondering when we pick up an apple whether or not it's genetically modified. That shouldn't even be a concern of ours. We should be able to pick up the produce that we buy and the foods in the store that we buy that don't have chemicals, that don't have genetically modified organisms in them, so that we can just use food for what it was intended, to keep us healthy. We don't even want this here. Like Glenn pointed out earlier, labeling just kicks the can down the road. It keeps the power structure going, and it just makes it easier for them to continue doing business as usual. We need to get rid of the genetically modified organisms in our food, period. They use genetically modified organisms in our sweeteners. You know, I don't know about you, but I wrote an article today about Truvia, and not to get this off the subject, but this is what's important. Truvia can be used as a pesticide, as well as being given a general allowance of safety by the FDA. Not that it's been proven safe to use, just that it's been given a general understanding that it would be safe.
You know, this reminds me.
Pesticide.
This reminds me of a scene from Fargo. Hey, that thing looks like a pesticide. Oh yeah, in what way? Oh, just in a general kind of way.
Exactly. So if we have this as our option for a sweetener, and we have genetically modified organisms in nearly everything that we buy to consume, we have a huge problem. We need to get rid of this. People were telling me, well, baking soda can be used as a pesticide. Truvia is safe, just as safe as baking soda. Okay, fine. If that's what you think, that's fine. You go ahead and think that.
Can I ask, has anybody ever gone to a cafe to have a coffee or something like that, and they have a little sachet that says glyphosate on it, or you know, maybe a little spray bottle with some kind of a general industrial poison or something, you know, like some Windex, and you put that in your coffee as like just to sweeten it or something?
Or like when you eat McDonald's hamburgers that are dipped in the same thing that you clean your windows, the Windex. So, you know, next time you have a burger at McDonald's, just think about cleaning your windows.
Yeah. Apparently the buns are really good. They function as a sponge. In fact, there is a video that my wife showed me the other day of a dude who got himself a Big Mac. Okay. And he grabbed the patties out of it and squeezed them into a cup. He filled up half a cup of grease with just
That's disgusting.
Two burger patties, And so he had the remaining burger there, like, you know, the lettuce and the buns and everything. And he goes, just for effect. And he pours this half a cup of grease all over the burger. It's just, oh my God, no. Just the visual. Like, you guys, I'm just telling you about it. You didn't see it. Oh my God. And this is like what's in every freaking Macca's patty. That's unbelievable.
Well, think about this. At Taco Bell and at Burger King, you could be eating horse meat. Now, I'm not saying that horse meat is good for you or bad for you. I don't know. But I want to know that my all beef patty is cow, because that's what I assume when I hear all beef. I don't want to assume that it's all beef from a horse. And so we need to know what's in our food. If we don't have food that has extra not good things in it, then we don't have to worry about that.
Correct.
Maybe, I mean, this is the reason why we're growing enough food to feed 11 billion people, is because about 7 billion of them are being poisoned already.
Pretty much.
Well, or Codex Alimentarius, that says that nutrients, vitamins, and minerals are bad for your body and you should avoid them at all costs.
Yes, I could just imagine Sherlock Holmes saying that vitamins and minerals are bad for you. It's Alimentarius, dear Watson.
Yeah. No doubt. Craziness. Well, that's the way the world is anymore. You know, you got doctors that are, you know, making people sick. I mean, they've done that to me. I've been poisoned by their so-called medicine that until I stopped taking it, it did not stop killing me. And, you know, it's like, you know, you go to a doctor to get well and they poison you. You know, it's like, I ain't going there. So you really have no choices anymore. So you have to, you know, you get poisoned no matter which way you go on the planet. So it's like, but if we can get rid of it and limit it and get, you know, start breaking the chain of events, you know, get Monsanto out of the government. That's one big thing. Get them out of the bank. I mean, look at all the banks that are co-opted by Monsanto. I think that was the first one in my list, was the list of all the banks. It was like, whoa, I don't think there's a single bank that isn't Monsanto driven. So, you know.
The point is to stop participating in our own tyranny. Don't buy the products, all of them. Just stop buying them. I was telling Jack Blood this last week. If we took the money that we spend every month in health insurance and reallocated those funds back to our grocery bill, we could afford better food for ourselves, and we wouldn't need the doctor, and we wouldn't need to pay the premium anyway. So think about it, folks. Just restructure your brain a little bit. Take money that you're wasting with the health insurance lobby and Obamacare and all that, and wherever you live, in whatever country, whatever lobbyist you have to pay for health insurance, they're not going to cover what happens to you anyway. And put that in your grocery bill. Put that $200, $300 into buying good food from your local farmer, from your local butcher, from your local dairy farm, from your local rancher. And think about it. You won't have to worry, because your food will keep you healthy. That's what it was intended to be. Food is medicine.
Right. And start your own backyard garden. I've been trying, you know, getting mine going. And, you know, I'm not against people that are sustaining themselves, like he's commented, oh, you're against that. No, I'm 110% for that. I'm 200% against people lying to me. And being lied to and directly in my face lying, that's, you know, I'm totally against that. And then you're starting to smell like, I'll be nice about it, but you're starting to smell pretty bad. So, you know, people need to know this. And, you know, is it a problem that goes all the way to the top? Because I know the government's corrupt from the top down and the bottom up. And, you know, and if I can't put one movement, one little area, say Richmond, and go, well, the whole thing is bad, but it brings into question, hey, you better check.
Well, it's when you don't look Okay, that's when you get into trouble. I mean, how do so many accidents on the road get caused? You know, you're just not looking where you're going. You're not paying proper attention. And people think that they've got to pay more attention to how they're driving on the road than the direction their country itself is going. You know, isn't that interesting? Considering there's a hell of a lot more hazards to your country than there are in any road anywhere. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests Glenn Soutphin from Richmond, Virginia, and Suzanne Posel from an undisclosed Occupy News bunker of some description. Occupy corporatism bunker, that is. Speaking of Occupy, it was pretty intense, wouldn't it? You know, you ever look at all those Occupy protesters? They were intense. Maybe they weren't pretty, but anyway, we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the final segment today on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much for your continued support. I've been very, shall we say, lax on getting new shows, new videos, and things of that nature out there. I've gone through a bit of an adjustment period, going from being on a network that's live, where you can just easily record the live stream and quickly edit it afterwards, to recording and organizing absolutely everything yourself, having no board op, no producer, and more or less just kind of like fielding and doing about 20 different jobs by yourself, whereas recently, up until now, I only had to do 10 jobs by myself and was getting a heck of a lot more done. So I just got to work into a rhythm to it, and I apologize to everybody for the lack of activity on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I mean, sometimes there'll be a week without a new broadcast going up there, and the YouTube channel's in an even worse shape. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. I've got to do my work. And I'm so sorry that I've let all of you down. Okay. Back to our guests, Suzanne Posel and Glenn Soutphin. We started off talking about Monsanto, and then we went on to talking about Agenda 21, which led on to Codex Alimentarius, which led back to Monsanto, and which leads back to the lobbyists, which leads back onto the Capitol Hill, which leads on to the Trilateral Commission, which leads on to David Rockefeller, which leads on to the Rothschild banking dynasty, which leads on to ancient Egypt, which leads on to ancient aliens, which leads on to... You know, it's like really weird how all of these things are all interconnected in the minds of some people, right? And what people are in danger of is assuming that one equals causality to the other, okay? There's some disparate connections with everything, but it doesn't mean everybody's in on it. There are useful idiots out there, as Lenin said. And believe me, there are many idiots that have happened to be useful. Make no mistake, I'm probably one of them. I might be believing in something that I don't even know about, as yet. You know what I'm saying? Always be prepared to question that possibility. Am I doing the right thing? Am I just being a big idiot here? It's like the ballad of the cosmic schmuck. How do you know if you've become the cosmic schmuck? Cosmic meaning big, schmuck meaning idiot. If you never question, you never sit down, you think to yourself, am I the cosmic schmuck? Am I actually the big idiot in all of this? Have I got it all wrong? Have I been living my life for somebody else's design, for somebody else's purposes? Have I believed that I didn't have the power to change or create things in and of themselves by myself without technically needing anybody's help in order to begin doing it? Am I doing the right thing? Do a whole lot of synchronicities and really interesting, fabulous coincidences and amazing, helpful people just come into my life exactly when I need them. Every single time. Why is it that that happens? Is it because I'm not lying to myself? Is it because I'm not doing damage to the flow of the universe? I don't know. I just assume that if you're doing the right thing, then the universe gets the hell out of your way and allows you to do it. However, if you're doing the wrong thing, you get a lot more rewards for doing so. It's all about what your intention is, and you'll get rewards on both sides of the fence. You can either be rewarded with knowing that you're on the right side of history, and that when the books are written, there might be a little bit of grain of truth in there about you someday, that you actually tried to help, whether or not you were going to win, whether or not you knew that what you were doing was going to be successful, just because it was the right thing. Is justification enough for some people? And in my opinion, that's the only justification you really, really need. Isn't right. This actually happened to me, guys. I was about to quit my job doing the salesman. I'd just been given the biggest paycheck of my life. You know, I was like 22, I think. 24, maybe. Frick. 24 maybe, you're right? And I got like $4,000 paycheck for the month, cash, after tax, and $11,900 worth of shopping mall vouchers for any shop in the entire mall, including a supermarket. And so I was like, I called up my friend John Eisen, who edits this magazine, Uncensored, and I said to him, man, I just really feel like quitting my job. I had like a head full of Alex Jones and Death of the New World Order kind of thing those days. And John just asked me this question, whether or not I'm going to quit my job, you know. Does it feel right? Does it feel right? And by God, it did. And by God, I quit. And by God, here I am today, doing the exact same thing that I did before. Stopping what I was doing, working for the man, and start doing the right thing. Not because I got financial rewards from it, but because it's the right thing. You guys vibing with that?
Yeah, that's what I do every day. I don't get paid for this. I enjoy when I look into a story and find out that stuff that they don't mention, or they briefly mention, like it's no big deal. And I love bringing that forth because it's important. It's important for us to understand that what they were talking about 6 months ago, and I see it. 3 months ago, they were talking about this. They just started talking about it today, like it's brand new information. No, they're programming you. They keep reintroducing information. The same thing you do with children. You repeat yourself over and over again every single day. And then eventually, hopefully, something sticks. I love exposing that. And I'm grateful that people want to listen to me on the radio. And I'm grateful that I'm able to go on television and do interviews as well. But I truly love what I'm doing because this information is so important. And I know that in the hands of the right person, they're going to read that article and say, I can change that. And they're going to. Information is only good in the hands of those who can do something about it. And so I choose to be that facilitator between the information and the person who can do something about it. So when I write an article and I publish it, I know that somebody's going to read it at some point in time, and they're going to change that. And I'm grateful that I could bring the information that will help change what's actually happening in our world.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty much why I started my blog, was, you know, I needed to get information out there that I was finding. And it's like, well, you know, who better to do it than me? You know, and I just started doing it and found the more I do it, the easier it becomes. And I definitely don't get any money for this. I bring it out there because people need to know what's going on. They need to wake up and basically smell the roses, which are sitting right on the elephant's lap in the room. And you're looking at the vase and you're looking at the roses, but you're missing the elephant holding it. So you got to kind of, you know, and I don't like people lying to me and telling me I have to obey them and, you know, trying to sell me liberty and sell me freedom and all this other stuff that they push on you. And it's like, you people are beyond help sometimes, but I still try to help and show them the way. And that's pretty, like I said, that's what my blog evolved out of, was nobody was getting the news that was happening in the real world and they weren't believing it. And it was my duty basically to say, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I found out.
You're not selling me liberty. You're not selling me freedom. You're selling me out.
Yeah.
And I think could I just say one thing, Suzanne? The whole point that we're actually trying to deal with here is appealing to authority, expecting somebody else to solve our problems. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the actions that you take to prevent certain problems from occurring are exactly the very action that needs to take place in order for that problem to occur?
Absolutely. It is a self-esteem issue. We are isolated. We do not communicate with each other the way that we understand. Most communication is non-verbal. So how can you communicate properly through text messages, through Skype chats, through telephone calls on your cell phone? Cell phone calls. Isn't that funny? I remember telephones. I remember rotary phones. We do not communicate. We do not interact with each other properly. We are isolated. We are not part, except in a virtual sense, which we don't understand how that works, but we are engaging in it because we live on the internet. So if we return back to talking to each other, engaging each other, if anything, use the technology, turn on the video chat and at least see each other so you understand each other, we can change how we perceive. And if we change how we perceive, then we don't accept certain things like abuse on any level, whether it's in our relationship, at work, or by our government. We don't accept poisoned food. We don't accept substitutes for things that we know naturally occur. We don't accept being lied to by the media or anyone else. And so when we stop accepting this, when we build our self-esteem, when we start communicating properly and understanding each other, these things will go away simply because we will not engage in them any longer.
And every language on earth has the word no. And it's probably one of the shortest words. And it's also, incidentally, one of the most powerful.
Well, definitely. I do not comply. No, I do not agree with you. You are not my ruler. So, yeah, that's, you know, what I do not comply with your orders that are baseless. And in a free society, you don't order people to obey you unless they are slaves. And then that kind of defeats your free society, though. So it's really, you know, it's all about the person standing up and what can little me do. Well, you can make some noise. You can stand up and say, hey, I question this. What's up? I want some answers. And go down to your city hall and say, hey, you know, I don't comply with your stupid orders that you're pushing out. You're criminals. criminals need to be brought to justice. Stop this. Well, they're too big to put in jail. Where did that come from? I've never heard of anybody too big to put in jail. We beheaded kings in the past. Well, weren't they too big to put in jail? And question your reality, too. Look around you and don't believe everything that's in front of you is real. And that's pretty much what I've been doing, is like trying to brush this veneer off of some of this stuff and go, what's beneath the surface? And sometimes that's all it takes to open up a big can of worms.
It's one person standing up in front of the others that gives the others the encouragement to stand up themselves, knowing that they're not alone anymore. It reminds me of something that, what was it, Mark Twain said something along the lines of, at first a patriot is ridiculed and hounded and thrown out of society, and nobody's on board with him. And it's only once his cause is proven true and successful does everybody else suddenly jump on board. Because then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
Yeah, precisely. And, I've read all this stuff through history, and history's been made sometimes by one person just saying, hey, this isn't right. And boom, the whole thing changes because people go, well, yeah, I've agreed with that, but I wasn't willing to stand up. But since you're putting a big target on your back, hey, now I can stand up because they're going to hit you before they hit me. So if I have to be the target, make me the target. I'm used to being a target.
Especially coming from the days of when the VC owned the night. And incidentally, you notice I don't know if you've noticed, but I have, the propensity of veterans now kind of coming against the government. And it's sort of like people who are at the coalface who have actually been treated the worst are often some of the most likely to wake up. The problem is the survival rates aren't very good because there's often a lot of damage that occurs not only on the battlefield but off the battlefield using psychotropic drugs and things of that nature. Now, what was it, Suzanne? The suicide is actually more likely to kill a current US serviceman than any other factor. No, accidents, roadside bombs, insurgents, anything like that, nothing. No. It's not the highest killer of US troops. It's now psychotropic drugs that they're given all the US troops for the traumatic stuff that they've had to do that make them want to kill themselves. And they give them drugs that help them with that.
Yes. Some of these veterans are on 9 to 12 prescription psychotropic antidepressant Paxil Zoloft. 9 to 12 at a time, simultaneously, all together. They're taking a cocktail. What do you think that does? Well, we don't know. That's the problem. They have bad science claiming that there's mental disease. There is no scientific proof that there's mental disease in the brain or the body, period. They've got brain scans. Well, think about it, folks. If you were walking and I was taking shot after shot after shot after shot after shot, in one shot your left leg would be up and the next shot your right leg would be up. That's the same mode of thinking that they look at when they see these brain scans. Well, something lit up here and something lit up there and it wasn't lit up here and it wasn't lit up there. It must mean that there's ADHD. That does not mean anything. They don't understand how the neural net operates. They don't even know where memories are stored, folks. They know that it's in multiple areas, but it doesn't always necessarily happen in the same sequence or in the same areas. Some people remember things differently. Guess what? It happens in different parts of the brain lit up to form that memory. They don't understand. That's why we have the brain mapping project with Obama. That's why DARPA wants to put computer implants in the brains of volunteers and soldiers so that they can find these mental diseases. That's why they have the soldiers sign off on PTSD, which is just as made up as ADHD, so that they will get more benefits when they're released. But guess what? Now they're labeled. Yep. It's a racket.
And then they're cataloged because they have all that information, and then they're hunted down and not taken care of. I know for a fact about what's going on with that from veterans. I've seen how they treat veterans, and it's disgusting. And having been in the service for a little bit and then out, I seen both sides of it, and I could care. I do not care for what they're doing. And it's, you know, you have to stand up and say, hey, stop this. We pay these congressmen more than we ever pay any veteran. And that's beyond ridiculous. Congress has become a retirement home for politicians. Every form of government, you know, it's ridiculous. We pay them and then they want a pay increase for doing what? For screwing us over? I mean, and then you start questioning it, and then you, well, you have a mental disorder. I must have ODD, I think is what it is now, isn't it? The new one where you question the government, so you have a mental disorder.
Oh, that's oppositional defiance disorder.
Yeah, you question stuff, so you automatically are mentally ill.
Therefore I'm ill.
Yeah, pretty much. And if you're breathing, whoa, watch out.
Now, here's the thing. How many psychiatrists who prescribe people with mental illness diagnose people with mental illness and then prescribe them drugs that cause mental illness in order to help them with their mental illness, which they can't cure with the drugs, which cause mental illness, of course. How many of them would be able to go through their own psychological profile or psychiatric breakdown, etc., and come up with no disorders of their own? How about, I don't know, God complex disorder? How about crazy as a rat in a tin shit house disorder? Is anybody listening?
How about
you can just make them up.
The House representatives on Capitol Hill who are psychiatrists, a week after the Santa Barbara shooting, House Representative Mike Thompson, who is a psychiatrist for 3 decades before elected to the House of Representatives, we have a psychiatrist sitting there. And he has these ad hoc groups that he belongs to where he's educating Congress, senators, and House representatives on mental health and psychiatry. Of course, he's a psychiatrist. He's funded by the psychiatric community, by hospitals, by the pharmaceutical industry. Of course. And he's pushing this bill to have mental health as part of gun control and getting rid of gun violence. Folks, this is what we're not discussing. Psychiatry is a sham. And it figured out with the asylums in the early 1900s that they could use Thorazine to drug people. And they've been drugging people ever since they came out of the asylums and they've come into our backyards. And they're in Capitol Hill, sitting there elected by somebody, maybe you, and they are making decisions on your mental health based on a lie. There is no scientific evidence to show that there is any mental disease at all in the brain or the body. So guess what, folks? It's a lie. And your elected officials, elected or not, we're not going to discuss that part. But those people sitting there that were chosen are former psychiatrists who are working for the psychiatric community and the pharmaceutical industry to make sure that you are drugged. That is the truth about gun violence.
The lunatics have taken over the asylum. Yeah. The lunatics are the ones in charge of prescribing everything now. And wasn't there knives in a car used in that one accident, the shooting incident, and they're going off on the gun? The gun didn't kill. The gun physically killed the people, yes, people. But it was the lunatic that pulled the trigger that did the crime, not the weapon. You sit the weapon down, that weapon becomes unfunctional. It will not kill anybody until picking back up. Period. That's the truth. That's reality. The person that's on the psychotropic drugs that got denied by women or whatever his excuse was to go off, that went off, is the person that needs to be blamed for all these crimes, not the weapon. And
it's also the drugs, like that gentleman, Sergeant Bales, in 2012, when he killed 16 Afghan citizens, he was on mefloquine, which is a vaccine for malaria. It causes psychotic episodes. Guess what? He had one. He's sitting in jail right now when the gentleman who administered the mefloquine to him is free.
Oh, yeah. I fully, you know, like I said, that there's another point, you know, it's the drugs. It's not, it enhances the person's ability to go do the bad thing they want to do, but it also makes them quite often do this. I noticed for a fact, having been on several of these drugs that they gave me for my seizure disorder. And I mean, there are times I've done stuff that it was like, it was not me that was doing it because it was the drug. I stopped taking the drug, got cleaned up from their drugs. All these episodes went away. So
it's like they turn you into a passenger in your own body. You know, like you can't stop yourself.
Correct. Yes. Very, very. You're a prisoner inside your own body and you can't do anything about it. And you're witnessing this from this third person perspective that it removes you. And, you know, but does that remove does that remove your guilt in that case? Because they can turn that around and go, well, since you weren't you weren't guilty of this. It's a slippery slope on all this.
Well, I have a friend who's on Zoloft. She's been on it for about 2 years now, and she's going to continue using it for the rest of her life. But she has told me that it disassociates her from her feelings. And in any situation, she realizes she's not behaving normally. She doesn't get happy or sad. She's just kind of even keel the whole entire time. Well, take that to an extreme. You have someone who is chemically induced to lack empathy. Not that they know that they shouldn't be upset, sad, angry, happy, frustrated, but they just can't feel it. The receptors in their brain have been inhibited. They just can't do it. So if they don't have those feelings, our feelings, our respect for each other, our care for each other, is what keeps us from doing really horrible things to each other. If we don't have that switch, what would we do?
Yeah, definitely agree. You know, it messes people up, and they know this. It's not like they don't know this because they put it on their warnings that they don't want you to read because, you know, another thing that they put right in front of you but expect you not to pay attention to. And that's pretty much the trick we're looking at here is everything's put in front of you, but you look at it, but you don't look at it. You see it, but you don't see it. It's just a sham, and you believe what you're told until the fog starts lifting, and you start going, well, wait a minute. This isn't exactly what they're telling me. And then it's your choice. Do you keep going, or do you just shut up and roll over and go back to sleep and hit the snooze button?
It's not just, this is not how they're telling me it's going to work. It's working the exact opposite. You know, it's like, I'm feeling a little bit depressed and I think like I might kill myself. Yeah, try this drug. Are there any side effects? Yeah, maybe a little bit of weight loss or something like that. But don't read the warning labels that say, warning, it might make you kill yourself.
Exactly. Oh, well.
Unfortunately, Suzanne has another scheduled interview coming right up and she needs at least a good 10 minutes break. And conveniently, we've come to the exact end of another fabulous episode of The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Ladies and gentlemen, check out Glenn Sutphin's website, lordnelga.wordpress.com, like Helga, but with a G, lordnelga.wordpress.com. It was kind of funny, the pronunciation there. And Suzanne Posel, OccupyCorporatism.com. Thank you very much, guys. And also thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Bear in mind, listener-supported broadcast, so if you could please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and sign up for a regular monthly donation of $5 to $10. We very much appreciate that. Thank you very much. We'll see you again sometime.